You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. On today's episode, in the first segment, we talk about Alan Koch. Yo, he just got fired from Cincy, and he's talking wild brazy before he got fired. Is that the reason, or is it because they can't win? We also talk about Corey Burke. He jam in down in Jamaica. He can't come home right now. He's having too much fun in Jamaica. Also, we talk about Francisco Calvo. My man's gets wild. And also, we break a little bit of breaking news from NYCFC.
Exactly. And to help us break that news, we got Glenn Crooks in studio talking all NYCFC, talking about the history of soccer in New York, talking, everything. He's still sweating coming from training, and he gave us the entire scoop on everything happening with New York City Football Club. So all this and more today on the Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Let's go!
Let's go!
Yeah!
Let's do this.
Go ahead, do it.
Okay. Thank you for giving me permission to do it.
Well, come on already. If you're listening to this, just do it.
That's it. You listen to this motivational podcast because you're done with Tony Robbins, okay?
Yeah, Tony Robbins.
All right.
I thought we was done with him years ago. How could you listen to that voice?
Tony Robbins, you are officially canceled, okay?
You're done, son.
I don't know what you did, but we'll come up with a reason for canceling you. We just wait till the end of the show. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. How is everyone doing? Answer back.
Yeah.
I know you're listening.
No. We can hear.
We can hear you. Trust me.
Say it loud.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Hello. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And we are your favorite stand-up comedians out here at the top of Madison Square Garden.
Hell yeah.
Hosting the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to.
Hell yeah.
Okay, and it's also a little bit more than just hell yeah. It's also what, Alexis?
Hell yeah, it's more. It's also the gulliest soccer podcast.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it is. Hell yeah.
All right. It sounds like it's like a late night chat with, with your high school girlfriend, you know? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know, I've always heard.
I ain't scared of my mom. Hold on.
I've always heard that one thing, this is a common thing I've heard from ladies, is that they find that men who are drowsy, like sort of on the phone, that sound tired. Now, apparently that's a very sexy voice, that like the drowsy man is like an attractive voice to a lot of women.
Are you sure the term is drowsy?
Drowsy, tired. Like,
okay. Drowsy is like I took two. Wrong Benadryl. You know
the pooped man, the tired individual.
I think that's like whisper in your ear. Type of
it's a very specific thing though. You know, I've always been very intrigued by it. Whenever I'm on the phone real late with anybody, I'm like, I turn it on. You know,
yeah.
It's not quite.
You know what I do? I turn it down.
It's not Barry White, but
excuse me, customer service. There's some uncool charges on the credit card.
Yes, they're like, oh, sir, okay. Yo, oh,
it happens
my God.
To be a category. For that. But I'm going to have to go change my chair.
Oh, man. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. We promise we are a soccer podcast.
We do. And we get to all the fun.
Actually, we're a comedy podcast that happens to talk about soccer.
That's
sometimes.
Right. Once in a while.
Eventually.
We try to crowbar it in there amongst all the other weird talk that we do.
I had someone at New York Comedy Club last night. It was like, she was English and she yelled out, "It's football," when I was doing a joke about soccer.
Okay. Did you have her thrown out by the bouncer? Because we don't need that kind of energy
at
our American comedy clubs.
No, 11 of us versus 11 of them kicked her around a little bit until one of us scored a goal, which was the exit door. No, she was actually sweet. She said it under her breath, so I didn't pay attention to it. I just went ahead and did the rest of the bit. And then she kind of said it again to the person next to her, and I was like, all right. And I explained that it came from them. And I don't have a joke for that per se, but I said something funny and I got a laugh, so I was able to move on. And afterwards, she came up to me. She's like, "You know, I Googled what you said." She's like, "I've never heard that before. You're right."
because
we came up with the term.
Because you English have been indoctrinated
right.
by the recency bias of people who are trying to it's more about
trying to rewrite
history. That's exactly what it is, okay?
Right.
And the I don't know, the Brexiters that are writing the history books nowadays are really trying to reshape our minds.
This is the problem. Texas buys too many school books, so everyone else just has to use those books. You know what I mean?
So
now it's all England. I may be conflating two different issues, but I promise you,
something makes sense.
It all. When I get to the bottom of this, I'm going to realize it all starts at the top.
No, man, but you see, we always talk about the Euro snobs that we kind of have to deal with.
Yeah.
And we're not even safe in the comedy clubs.
No.
You know, that last battle. Bastion of free speech, and still there's people out, the hecklers, that's
a sound you shouldn't hear on this podcast.
The hecklers are now British, and now they're heckling us about British things,
and we're having to explain to them their own culture.
Exactly.
I mean, this is what we do. You know, some say that comedy is the last sort of stand for not just free speech but real information, you know, real knowledge, sort of, you know, laughing at those in power, if you will,
yes.
You know, telling the emperor he has no clothes, which is what I did. I said, yo, lady, you ain't got no clothes.
You ain't got no clothes.
Yo, put some goddamn clothes on if you want me to talk to you. I am a married man. Also, we got rules in this comedy club. Where is the bouncer?
Yeah, it reminds me. Did you see? I don't know if you've seen this yet. I'm trying to look up the photo. What's his name? The comic. He just put up a flyer that he's giving the middle finger to like people holding a Me Too flyer.
No, I didn't see that.
What's his name? The
Nick DiPaolo.
Nick DiPaolo.
How did I just guess that? I don't know.
If you don't, Nick DiPaolo, he's a comedian.
He's very funny. He's very just funny. Problematic.
He has any take you could possibly, anybody who could have the worst take on anything, it's Nick DiPaolo. But he is funny.
The jokes are good.
Yes.
They're well-structured, funny jokes.
Good jokes, but you will never
walk away and want to shower.
Yeah, you will never agree with him on anything.
No.
But and credit to him, because that's what would make, that makes an incredible comedian. For someone
to be like,
I completely do not agree with
taking,
you.
But damn, that was funny.
But then, and I remember in 2008, after Obama won, seeing him at Caroline's, and when the energy for Obama was through the roof,
we're high fiving.
Everybody was like, the world has finally changed. Everything is going to be fixed. And Nick DiPaolo, just a hilarious set about how we should really temper our expectations and it's not that big a deal and stuff like that. And it was like, at first, as when he started his premises, I'm like, oh boy,
it's gonna be
a rough show.
But it's one of those things of like, let me just sit back and hear what this guy's has
exactly.
to say. Because he's not saying anything that's offensive. He's just giving you a different point of view.
Yes.
And it's a point of view that I despise.
His flyer for the new special is absurd.
He is going all in.
It's literally somebody holding up a Me Too flyer, a Black Lives Matter shirt, and he's giving them the middle finger. It's really bad.
It's really bad. He's leaned in. I mean, this is who his character is.
And I think somebody was...
And by his character, I mean his personality.
Somebody was holding a sign that said it's called football, not soccer. I mean, it's really...
Really?
No,
okay, yeah. That Imagine. Should be our special. Just us middle fingers to someone going, football. FUTBOW football.
So look, man, look, we're fighting the good fight even in the comedy club. So, speaking of comedy clubs,
how about the two of us just crushing Connecticut?
Yo, we own Connecticut now.
It's ours. In fact, we're gonna spell it so that it's not Connecticut. Okay, what's happening out there?
That's right. Okay, and it started with a K. Now get used to it.
It ends in a Z, but it's silent. You tell me I can't. Oh, I don't know. Are Christian and I not the king and queen?
Which is which, you know, you never know.
Guess what? We keep swapping. We make our own rules.
Okay, we're like the Targaryens. Yeah. All right.
What does that mean? Nah, I'm watching Game of Thrones. I'm all up on what's happening.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we're all trying to make sense of it, right? Okay, so... We were in Connecticut. We're at the Fairfield Comedy Club.
That's right.
And we had
shouts to Fairfield Comedy Club for having us.
And shouts to a couple of the fans, a couple of the homies coming out and supporting the show.
We had a nice full room. Comedy fans, some Cooligans fans. Sort of sprinkled in.
It was dope.
Right?
And I can't recommend it anymore. If you are a fan of the Cooligans and you also enjoy stand-up comedy,
I mean. I mean, that's like you own a car that you love Mercedes and you love sunroofs. Well, it just so happens there's a Mercedes with a sunroof right in front of you.
Okay, exactly. You know, this podcast comes fully loaded.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah. It doesn't matter that you got to get the upgrade radio package for it. You're cool with it. You wanted that because you wanted the sunroof. Well, we're here. We were goody. Plush leather and all that. And if you ask nicely, vibrating seats.
Okay, it's very key. Yeah. It doesn't matter how much you pay. You got to ask nicely when you do it.
I'm sorry. Why is there a seat warmer on? No, baby. That's just how we make you feel.
Okay, we put that extra bass in the seats.
Oh, hell yeah.
So the Fairfield comedy was really fun.
Yeah, that's right. We were talking about comedy.
Comedy. Yeah, it gets a little crazy sometimes. But we did have a really, really fun show. One of the most fun shows we've had in a long time.
It was great.
It was. It's always
different. It was great seeing you loose, you know, because you've been so stressed lately.
Oh,
it was
my
good
goodness.
Seeing you. You let it all out.
Yes, I was having a good old time with those.
He whipped it out. Not what you think.
Not what I
his
think.
His emotions.
I whipped it out emotionally, yeah. Okay?
Yeah. And guess what? We were all still very impressed.
Okay, it's not assault if you're crying.
Yeah. No. He locked the door and cried in front of me, so he should be banned from all comedy clubs.
Yeah, that's the only thing Louis C.K. and I have in common.
Yeah, yeah.
We trap you, but with different things.
They
you know?
Both release liquid from their bodies, just in different areas.
Okay, I will cry without your consent.
Yeah.
You better deal with it.
This is what gets me off, is crying. Am I getting off? I mean crying more.
Exactly. But we did have a good time, man. And it's definitely something we plan to do a lot more of and honestly travel the country. And do stand up for you guys. You know, sometimes there is that balance of like, you know, when we're in front of just comedy audiences, it can't be all, you know,
can't be just soccer bits.
Yeah, you know, just
hour and a half
inter Miami jokes. Yeah. Nobody's gonna know what we're talking about.
Hour and a half of reading Mike Petsky's tweets. We can't do that.
That's not really for everybody.
No, there is an audience.
There's
for that.
An audience,
and it's definitely something I want to do.
You know, and it's definitely something you would be a part of. The person listening to this, because it is. You were the only people that will value and treasure something like that.
You are that very specific audience.
So when we do have the opportunity to do those things, come out to those. But if we're just doing stand up at a comedy club in your area, come through, man. It's honestly super, super fun. So yeah, and
nothing makes us feel better than knowing there's like Cooligans fans in the audience.
Exactly.
It's just so
and
fire
some,
for
and
us.
People sometimes people don't know because we deal with this all the time where people listen to us on the podcast and they're like, hey, these guys are funny on this little side. Radio
but
thing,
are they good
but
comedians?
Are they good comedians?
And then they come out and they're like, this happened throughout the entire World Cup comedy tour.
Yeah.
They were like, yo, you guys are actually funny.
You guys are actually funny.
Yo, you guys are great comics. I'm like, yeah. We're not just pretending to be comedians on the podcast.
Yeah.
This is what we do nightly, which disappoints our entire family.
Okay. This is you're the only people who are proud of us. I'll be honest.
Yeah. So you need to come out.
You need to really show up.
Because as mentioned previously, my mom's not going.
Okay, that is a common
thread. Emphatically.
She says all the time, get a real job.
Yeah.
Let's get the show going in just a moment. We usually always start the show by showing love to the people who show love to us.
Back to us.
I want you to read the first one.
I got to read this. Mikey, yeah. I am just out here crushing it.
That's right.
Title of this, first of all, it's a 5-star review. We don't read your garbage-ass reviews if you don't give us 5 stars. In fact, we mark them as a report of concern. Okay, get it out of here. Actually, we don't. You can see there's a few underneath that. My big complaint is this one person who left a 3-star review. I can't find it, but I would love to read that. 1-star review I get. We not for everybody. But we got 436 reviews. We're on our way. We got an average of 5 stars. Mikey, I am added to that by leaving this review. Title is, hello, this is Susan Sarandon.
Ooh, interesting. What an interesting username, Mikey.
Right?
Susan Sarandon.
Also, his new username is Mikey, I am. And he's wild confused because it turns out Susan Sarandon, I also am. So the subject is hello, this is Susan Sarandon. The review is this. Hello, this is Susan Sarandon, and I approve this podcast, comedy, soccer, and bowel movement stories. It just doesn't get better than this. this is better than my movie, Stepmom.
Wow, that is high praise.
Damn,
from
Suze.
Stepmom is a good movie.
Stepmom. Suze is throwing her own career under the bus just to let you know how good we are.
So really, take her word for it. Listen to this show regularly. Tell your friends about it. Because if it's good enough for Susan Sarandon, trust me, it's good enough for your friends.
Yeah. I mean, yo, if you love the movie Stepmom, just imagine how much more you would love us. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, does that really correlate? The star of said movie you love just told you, whether it's true or not, just told you to watch and listen to this.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just amazing from Susan. And Susan and only Susan, nobody else. So yeah.
That's her movie she did with Julie Roberts.
She did do that movie, Julie Roberts.
I remember that movie. It was almost as good as our podcast.
Sure. It currently has a 45% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, we don't need to talk about that.
So, I mean, I'm saying we have a higher rating than Stepmom does on Rotten Tomatoes.
Which, if you don't know how Rotten Tomatoes works, 45% means that's the only amount of people that can finish watching it because everyone else was just dying to laugh too much. So you can imagine how much greater our show is.
Exactly. So, let's get right to it. And just a reminder, yes, please leave a review on iTunes or on any podcast app that you listen to the show to help.
Also, Spotify, right?
Yeah, but you can't leave reviews on Spotify.
No, but like download it. Even if you get it already on the other, it doesn't alert you. Just hit the button, subscribe to us on whatever it is.
Yeah.
Hit the play button. Listen to us on Spotify as well.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
Help us out.
Also, if you got an Android, listen to us on Spotify, though.
Okay.
Because all them other random ass apps you'd be downloading is spying on you from China.
That's right. Be careful with those random ass apps and them podcast apps.
Y'all got these random apps. Y'all tell us, like, yo, I'd love to review for you on Podcast 69 app. And I'm like, that's not a real thing. All your information is at the NSA now. You got to stop using these random third party apps you'd be downloading on Play Store, which got no security whatsoever.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Apple and Google are totally safe with your information. They are not doing anything that they shouldn't be doing.
No superstar has ever had their naked photos leaked. iCloud is impervious.
So let's get started with a couple things going on in American soccer. Obviously, the big news is Alan Koch from FC Cincinnati.
Exclusive. Yes. We're the first ones to talk about
this. Nobody else
has
reported. Alan called us himself and was like, hey, man.
No, you know what he did is he dialed us and put us on speakerphone during the firing. Just to make sure we get that scoop.
I want you to hear this, how they're treating me out here.
Wow, disrespectful.
Yes, Alan Koch.
And they did it at a Skyline Chili. How you going to ruin that pinnacle of culinary arts?
Yeah, and Roosevelt gave him the news. Yeah. Yo, it's really...
Yo, we should rename Roosevelt Island to Rose Lavelle Island. I just thought about that.
Okay. All right. Happy for you, man.
I'm coming up with ideas during the conversation. Is it ADD? I don't know. I went to a Catholic school. They didn't diagnose me with nothing besides I got the jitters.
Also, I can't be near rulers. I get nervous. I don't know why.
Why that lady wearing a head wrap and got a ruler in her hand? I feel like I might have done something wrong.
So, Alan Koch has been fired from FC Cincinnati. They gave him how many games? 10 games? 11 games? And then he's done.
He's done. But also, did you hear what Fernando Adi came out and said?
I did hear it.
He was like, wow, passive aggressive, which, again, I respect. Okay.
Sure.
He came out and he's like, look, we've got good players. I don't know why they're playing out of position. You know, makes it difficult to win. But hey,
yeah,
players we have, it's almost as if he was saying, like, I think we have good players. Like, if they were just coached better.
Yeah.
He basically said
that. I mean, I don't think our goalkeeper should be playing starting striker.
No,
I'm not the coach.
Why is he wearing gloves out there? I don't know. Yeah. This could be why he's getting so many handball calls.
Yes, it's weird. I guess. Look, Fernando Adi is honestly part of the problem, right? Because he was, driving drunk, and also it contributed to the issues with the culture of the team.
So I don't agree with that.
I'm not just gonna be like he's not responsible at all for anything. So I don't take Fernando Adi's words with too much weight or whatever.
He put the last nail in the coffin with that.
But Alan Koch did the week prior did say that his players were not good enough, and he did the Anthony Hudson style. He was like, "Yo, Anthony, what you doing? Okay, let me follow this model.
Are you throwing all the players and the front office under the bus? I think I could do the same thing.
Okay, cool. Seeing that as that worked out so well for you, I will also mimic that strategy.
So wait, you get a how long of a vacation? I'm doing the same damn thing. It's like a friend of mine in school got expelled. And then three other people were like, yo, he's just home playing video games. I'm going to get expelled, too. It's like, you get left back. Right?
Sure. It's one of those, like, if you kill one person, it's like, well, a double murder, I'm not going to go to double prison.
What am I going
to,
two lives in jail? Who cares?
I mean, also, don't kill people. But big news. I think the most fascinating part about it is that he was not given that much time. I think they saw that there wasn't, a real future. All the comments from, I think his name is Jim Birding, if I'm not mistaken, or James Birding, the president of FC Cincinnati, which I think is also the same guy who gave the weird high five to Susanna Collins. You remember that? Yeah. So the all the comments, and I'll pull up.
Which was the first L of the season, right? In a long line of L's.
It didn't get off to a good start.
No, it did not.
So a lot of the quotes are really just basically about how bad that there wasn't any real faith in Alan Koch, and they didn't think there was any foundation for a future.
He was the USL coach, right?
He was the USL coach, and he did win the USL. So clearly he's a winning manager. All right. So it's not like it's nothing, but it's just the reality is the quality of MLS is a lot higher. And
the speed, the pace,
but then the quality of players that they did bring in, Fernando Adi, Darren Maddox.
Yo, whose choice was it to give all that TAM for the picks?
I'm going to assume,
Amaya, remember the first pick? They couldn't even keep him.
What do you mean they couldn't keep him?
He's loaned out to Orange County.
Oh, wait, he just played his first game, though, last weekend.
He came back?
He played against San Jose.
Okay, word.
So he's playing.
He only plays in California. That's the rule.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where he's from, right? So
Remember just how depressed he looked that he was going to Cincinnati at the draft?
Don't say that.
It's true, though. Let's be real.
No, I won't say that.
He was like, I was like, yo, tacos or Scott and Jillian? He was like, I love Subway.
Yes, that did happen.
FC Cincinnati people with a cattle prod behind him.
No, I wouldn't.
I love Subway.
I saw his post-game interview after the game against San Jose. They lost the game against San Jose. But
you don't say.
The dude is, he's a kid, obviously. But he is, I like his energy. I like his attitude. He's very, like, he's here to work. You know, he was talking about, like, they were asking him about, like, I think he got to start in that game. And they were asking him about how he feels in his first couple games and being loaned out and all these other things. And I think he paraphrasing, but he basically said, like, this is the life of a soccer player. This is what I signed up for. He's very serious for, like, a young.
He is. He has that, like, stiff upper lip kind of thing. Like, stoic.
Something to prove. You know, I like it because we've spoken to younger players in MLS, and, some of them sound like, they're still in high school a little bit. You know, it's not even about sound.
Some of the been in the league for a few years.
They sound a little like childish, but I'm not taking anything away from their quality of play. But sometimes you can sense the maturity.
We'll say to some people, like, yo, we'd love to have you on the podcast. We're comedians. They're like, yeah, you comedians? Y'all got bitches up there? I'm like, no, why would we?
Oh, no, that's not right.
It's a soccer podcast.
I don't know what type of comedian you think we are.
Could you just tell me where you put those two together?
Yeah, and look, for people listening, sometimes some people ask us, like, hey, you should try to get this person on the show, this person on the show. This is a thing that we think about a lot of who we ask to do the show, because when we can't really ask young players to be on the show.
Because they're just going to get themselves in trouble.
Seriously, it's
going to ruin their career.
I mean, young players, even though, yes, they might be young men or young women playing, but an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 21, these are still 18-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds.
And the funny thing is, when they're doing their media training answers, they sound very mature.
Yes.
When you break that.
Yeah.
When we do that with a player who's been in the league.
Once it's like off script, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, when we do that with like Rose Lavelle or like a player like RJ Allen, someone who's been in the league for a while or just played for a while, they're like very mature, and you can kind of get like the sense that like they understand where to joke and where to like leave it be and let us kind of take, carry the ball a little bit. it. With some of the younger ones, they're just like, "Yo, well, what about this?" Like, no. Stop.
It is just I mean, it has nothing to do with them being a younger soccer player. It's the fact that they are young people, right?
Yeah, it's not they're not young soccer player. They're just a young person.
Exactly. So, so that's a reality of the situation. So the thing I'm most impressed by with FC Cincinnati is that the leash was this short. Right. There isn't how many, you know, they're getting regularly, 25,000-30,000 people a game, things like that. The standard is clearly set very high for FC Cincinnati. There is not going to be any tolerance of mediocrity, which I'm happy that they did make such a bold decision and on already to be a successful team, and they're not dealing with the you know, just being a bad team for in that expansion season.
Did you see the somebody posted? I can't remember who posted it on Twitter. The screen caps of like FC Cincinnati message boards and Twitter and, you know, Reddit. And it was just how many people were like, "Man, I miss the USL days, man. Like, remember when this team was good?" Like, there was like that. The feeling around the fan base was like, "Oh God, you know, we used to win everything, man."
Yeah. I mean, there is a, you know, the league has changed a lot in the last couple of years. So there isn't the you know, MLS was always a, you know, relatively small league. I mean, the small number of teams
it was 10.
Really? Has it been that many?
Well, remember the two contracted, the two Florida teams.
You said 10 years ago, though. But
Years ago. It was 2010. They contracted to 10 teams.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And here we are on our way to 30.
I know, dude. Yeah, it's like...
Life comes at you fast, bro.
I think that's the thing with a lot of, you know, MLS lifers, right? You know, when a new team comes in and then there's all of a sudden a new wave of... You know, the Twitter idiots from that city, right? Because there's going to be a couple, right?
Oh, there's, of course. And they're like, "Soccer, I think I could mess everyone's day up."
Let me get in on this, all right? Yeah. Little Kool-Aid man breaking into soccer Twitter.
Hey, hell yeah.
So it's a thing of... You know, obviously a new team, like a new fan base clearly makes the league more popular and more exciting. But sometimes like the people who've been around a long time are like, "Nah, son, I don't want you. I don't want you in my club." What? What are you showing me?
Paul Tenorio just tweeted out that multiple sources say Colorado Rapids are set to acquire USMNT winger Jonathan Lewis from NYCFC for a substantial haul of allocation money.
Wow. Okay.
So Medina not going anywhere. Hey, we could talk to our guest.
All right, this is going to be perfect. Glenn Crooks is here.
First of all, we want to thank all of MLS for starting to listen to us and releasing this bits of news.
This is
on a Tuesday.
I'm pretty shocked.
We got the Twitter going up on a Tuesday.
That's right. Who sang that song? What's his name?
I love McConan.
Yeah. Oh man, where did
he live in Portland now?
Where did he go?
He came out of the closet and lives in Portland now.
Okay. Well, that's where you go when you come out.
everyone has to go there. Not bad, because Diego Valeri's there, who shares a birthday with me.
Oh, that's right.
How great is that? Speaking of birthdays,
yeah,
we have our party.
Oh, that's right. We should just make sure to announce that.
Tell everyone right now, yo, if you happen to be in New York City Friday, May 10th.
Yeah, Friday night.
May 10th, T-E-N-F.
Come out to Gelso and Grand.
Gelso. Appropriately pronounced G-E-L-S-O and Grand on the corner of Mulberry and Grand Street. Go straight downstairs and then say, "Yo, what are you here for?" You say, "I'm here for the gulliest birthday party of all time."
That is right. That is your move.
Bro, we got DJ from High 97 and Shade 45. Sway in the Morning took over for Sway when he wasn't around.
Okay.
DJ Mike Medium is going to be spinning them records. And if he decides not to show, that's cool. We got an iPad.
But we're hoping.
Right? I hope he'll be there. He said he put it in the calendar, so let's hope he'll do it. But yo, we're just going to have some drinks. We're going to have some fun.
We're going to dance a little bit.
We're going to buy live.
There might be some twerking.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. From the king and queen of Connecticut.
So, okay.
Which this is now the Connecticut National Anthem.
Okay, so we have to talk about this Jonathan Lewis stuff. Okay, NYCFC's Jonathan Lewis leaving, if that's real.
Supposedly.
Then, okay, so as an NYCFC fan, I'll be honest, pretty disappointed because Jonathan Lewis has been just stellar every time he gets an opportunity. But this season, he's been getting a couple starts. He hasn't really, you know, he's not really shining like he does when he's like the super sub.
Can we talk about why that is?
Why he's not shining?
Why do you think he's not shining? I have a theory, but I would like to hear what you have to say first.
Go for it.
No, go ahead. Why
do I think he's not shining? It's strange because we see him in the U.S. men's national team, and he appears to have like something a little different where he can like get by a defender, do something special. And then,
don't you think it's the trust?
Sure.
Seems like Greg Berhalter trusts him a little bit more than Domi. I'm not going to say whether that's a good choice or a bad choice. I'm not going to say whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not going to sit here and say whether Domi is a better or worse coach than Greg Berhalter, Triple G, okay? Or Domi. I'm not going to say all that. I'm just going to say it's clear, it's evident that the only reason Jonathan Lewis even hit the field is because the fans were begging for it.
Sure.
He was integral in some type of exciting, forward-making, chance-creating play every time he came in for the men's national team, which I would say is a higher standard than MLS.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
How is it that in MLS, Mans can't get no run?
I think the outside of the issues that he may have been having as far as with Vieira or like maturity issues or anything, I mean, there were a lot of reports and things like that, but he, you know, I think the biggest difference from this year to last year is he's not playing with David Villa. When he was playing with Villa, I don't know what...
Wasn't playing with Villa in the men's national team.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, but we're talking about his play in MLS.
Okay.
In MLS, when he was playing with Villa, something, he always managed to do something special. I mean, Villa attracted a lot of attention, so you know he probably had a little bit more space than usual, and he had a couple assists to Villa last year as well. So I think that's the biggest difference. I think I'm not going to say the system is different or anything. I just think the way NYCFC plays without David Villa is different enough to affect Jonathan Lewis's play, and he doesn't have the liberty that he did when Villa was there and with Vieira or even with Domi while Villa was there.
Look, if I'm going to listen to what I can't remember the name of the general manager of Colorado Rapids. They said that they're committed to this sort of 2020 plan, right? They're going to get a bunch of youth in. They're going to try to do the same thing FC Dallas has done and some of the other clubs are doing now, where they're go ahead and getting youth players that they think they can flip for more money. Immediately when you think of players that you can flip for more money that are young in MLS, one of the names in the top three or five, at least, has to be Jonathan Lewis.
Yeah.
So what is it? What is it, NYCFC, that you are getting allocation money-wise? What are you going to use that for that you couldn't have instead made money off of Jonathan Lewis?
They have to be eyeing a summer signing.
A significant summer signing.
A TAM signing, somebody big, somebody significant. I mean, look, the moves they made so far have been pretty good. NYCFC, they had a rough start.
Ebert looks great. I'm not sold on Matriza being a $10 million player, $8.5 million. But I'm not sold on that yet. But the guy looks good.
He does look good. He's dealing with some nagging injury. I think I forgot what, a hamstring or some leg issue. A rib. He had a rib issue. So can't judge him too harshly.
No, I'm just saying.
But
from what we've seen,
Medina,
you know, not looking great.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We'll save a lot of this criticism specifically
for the next segment
for Glenn Crux. All right.
Yeah.
And we'll get to the bottom because
he'll get down to the crux of the whole conversation.
He's literally coming from NYCFC training out in Orangeburg, New York. So
and wait till I tell him how trash his pizza, his favorite pizza is. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Wait, everybody.
Oh,
wow. We're going to take down Glenn Crux. You know what? Glenn Crux is canceled. Now,
yo, this might be why Jonathan Lewis left. He found out Glenn Crux likes Arturos. You know what I mean? And he was like, I can't be in the same city with this guy.
All right, so we'll talk. Just everybody get buckle your seatbelt because on the subway
strap yourself into that subway, folks.
Because the next segment will be NYCFC heavy.
Yeah,
we'll talk about a lot of that stuff.
But like HEVI, like the way Dominican said.
Heavy. Yeah, está heavy.
Está heavy.
So we're going to have to make sure Glenn Crook says heavy.
Heavy.
The right way to say it.
Dímelo.
So okay, a couple other things going on in MLS and in U.S. soccer. Let's talk about these trades real quick. Francisco Calvo from Minnesota United traded to Chicago Fire. And then we also had David Guzman from Portland go to where'd he go? To Columbus. Go back to play with Caleb Porter. So big moves in general. Calvo, the interesting one, more interesting
because he's like, oh, the coaches are throwing people under the bus.
Okay.
I think I could do that too.
Because if you saw
Calvo's been an outspoken dude from the beginning. Remember last year he was like, yo, we don't get no respect. Nobody talks about us.
Yeah, but also he has 39 goals. I'm allowing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. Now, go ahead, y'all run past me. I want to talk about how no one respects us. Now, go ahead, y'all play soccer. Anyway, like I was saying,
it's like, hey, Francisco, I feel like we have nothing to really respect. Why? You know what? That is disrespectful. That statement.
Oh, why? Because I don't defend unless I'm in a national team shirt.
Oh, because the numbers don't lie.
Huh?
Oh, really? Wow.
What, you got all these facts?
Okay. A couple of the quotes that stood out. He was, interviewed. I think at training at training for Chicago Fire, and a couple of quotes that really stood out.
Let's just say he was trying to make the news. I think a little bit.
Yes, he basically. I want to get the right one. He goes. He says, "Quote: Wherever Coach Adrian Heath needed me, I always tried to give him my best. He took me out of my usual position, which is in the middle. I tried to give him what I had at left back, and after that, he took me out of the team. But I'll let him worry about this." Oh, okay.
Wow.
I'm not at Minnesota anymore, okay? I don't need to figure out what their lineup is going to be.
I do like how he throws a grenade and just goes, y'all take care of this.
Yeah, can you just make sure this message gets to him? Sorry, not sorry, right? So he did also say about the red card. He referring to Adrian Heath, was really upset at the red card that he got in Toronto, which is, I believe, the last game that Calvo played for Minnesota United. He said he didn't like the red card in Toronto. He was he referring to Adrian Heath, he goes, he was a player, and he knows that sometimes as players, you lose your head. I lost my head against Toronto, and I accepted my responsibility. I was the captain of the team, but I didn't get his support either. I was the captain since I arrived in Minnesota, and he never supported me. He put me in the trash as if I were a rookie, to put it that way. But I repeat, it's so funny. But I repeat, I'm happy. One door closed, but this one has opened. And if it opened up, it's for something positive. So
that's like if your vows during your second marriage is like, let me tell you what that other bitch did. You know what I mean? But no, it's cool.
But it's cool. I'm fine.
I'm fine here. She never respected me.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, they didn't, a bad breakup, right? This did not end well.
No, it did not. He also didn't take it well. Like, this is like that posturing of like, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm going to tell you what really happened. It's like, bro, move on. Although I kind of like the fact that he was like, yo, he was a player. He gets where I come from. I can understand that frustration. You know what I mean?
Look, they had a lot of issues, but I mean, realistically, once the culture kind of changed, Ico Parra gets there. You think Ozzy Alonso is tolerating, you know, allowing the most goals in Major League Soccer? Hell no.
Hell no.
All right. So hell yeah was before.
Yeah, yeah. Now hell yeah done.
That is over. No, okay.
That guano is not having it.
So, look, I think Calvo, maybe the quality of play, and then there's something. It snowballs, right? Because once you start making a couple mistakes, and then you start, being, once you start becoming the reason why you're losing games, which Calvo was definitely that,
right?
Occasionally, then it affects the entire culture of the team, and people start, it stops being, we had a rough game, and whatever. Then it goes to, yo, I don't know what Calvo was doing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Your own teammates start getting very specific about who's at fault.
He's like, yo, he had a plan, just didn't share it with the rest of us. Like, when they start saying stuff like that, you're at fault.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say that there's, Adrian Heath is not responsible for how Minnesota United is.
At the end of the day, the buck stops with him. He's the coach.
Exactly. So, look, he made the decision to get rid of Calvo. Calvo's now in Chicago. I don't... I don't see Calvo going to Chicago and saving the day either.
No. But there were what? The rumors are going to go to five back? Yo, dog, try seven. Sorry, seven.
All right, you need, might need a couple more.
Have you thought about building a trench?
Okay.
Yo, Nicole Hack, furious right now.
Have you tried the trench 4-2? It's a good strategy.
So we're allowing barbed wire?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
instead of playing in Soldier Field, why don't you go get yourself some soldiers?
I hope for the best in Chicago as well, man. And it's not like Chicago is another one of those teams where I'm just like, oh, just
so much talent.
So close. They just need to fix like two, three things, and it's just
so much talent.
Nico Gaitán has been great there. I've been watching a couple of the games that he's played.
He does look a step slower than he did in Portugal, though.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's
like he seems like he's caring a little less.
I mean, it's.
You know, I'm not gonna put that on him.
It's a long journey to Bridgeview, bro. Yeah. You're tired, buddy. By the time you get
there, he's like, "How long? How much does Uber cost him?" Damn, you take Tam.
So,
do we have some ride share allocation? Let me get some RAM, my guy.
So, yeah. So, I hope for the best for both clubs. You know, it'd be nice to see them both successful. So, okay, a couple other things. Let's talk about Corey Burke. This is a very vague issue that we don't
super
know
vague. We don't
exactly
know what's going on.
But you know, we
also don't want to spread rumors. You know, but what we do know for sure is that.
But we also want you to quote everything we say on this podcast.
Oh yeah, no. Also, we spit number facts that we had heard. These are facts we heard on them streets.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And once it's, you heard it from like 2-3 people, then we know it's gospel.
ESPN says you got to have two sources. My two sources are my homie Pookie and this dude I overheard at the deli. I'm pretty sure he was talking about Corey Burke. I ain't sure.
But that's enough to print it.
Put it
print
up. It. Top of the sports center right before the credit plays. Right before the opening.
So Corey Burke plays for the Philadelphia Union.
Not this season.
Not this. Well, not for the next couple months. Because
he's back to Jamaica.
He is a Jamaican international and he is apparently stuck in Jamaica.
Yeah. Where? Right near the beach.
Getting his groove back, I've heard.
Yeah. Okay,
you don't know who he's going to meet out there.
You don't know.
He's going to come back a new woman.
Okay. And it's about time. It's been a while since the divorce. You know,
but honestly, he deserves it.
Yeah, really, it's him time. Okay?
So
kids are out of the house. It's him time.
So
we're referencing a movie no one here has seen.
I hope to. I'm sure people have. Yeah. The reference is too popular. So so Corey Burke.
He had to go back to Jamaica. He's off the team for at minimum 3 months, but he's off the roster.
He's off the roster because he cannot come back into the U.S., and we don't know exactly why. So all we know is that I believe
Well, we don't know why because they're not saying specifically why. They're saying it's personal in matter.
Yeah.
Or personal in its nature, and they're saying that he had to go because of a family issue, blah, blah, blah. The rumors we heard, without saying it, is, let's just say, if this was the problem you had that they found, then Jamaica might not be the best place to go. That's like if I was found.
All I'm saying is that Jamaican problems for yourself if this is your issue.
Jamaican your life a little harder by going to Jamaica. Oh, here, like if I took a piss test and it came up positive for too much salt, do not send me to a pizza shop, is what I'm saying. So they're sending him to Jamaica.
So these are all, we don't know.
We don't know.
This is literally, yo, we heard as much as whatever you heard online.
I'm letting you know what's in the deep web, okay?
Okay, we're out in 4chan kind of exploring, trying to figure all this out. Okay,
we got to weed through a lot of very disrespectful stuff.
A lot, all right? But you know what? We do the work, and we do the work for you.
Yeah, we don't do this for us. And definitely didn't already have 4chan on our computer.
So he can't come back, and the team statement was that he won't be back for at least 3 months, at least 3 months.
So he's working out some visa issues,
which also means
how much does he owe the visa? Come on, you gotta go to Jamaica.
You gotta sort this out, man.
Why?
So apparently, this will also affect his eligibility for the Gold Cup because Jamaica's in the Gold Cup, and he also may not be able to travel to U.S. to play in those games as well. So hopefully this gets sorted out. You don't want to see. I mean, it's really more than just like a guy guy not being able to play for a soccer team, it's like he can't work, right?
He can't work.
He can't feed his family, can't take care of his family. Like it's frustrating.
And if this is because he did fail a urine test, like, yo, what are you doing?
Yeah, this...
Dog, leave that for the off season.
Okay. All right.
I mean, seriously, I know
right.
that some of this.
All right. Look at this team counselor.
Yeah. I'm a good.
Yo, just do it on away games yeah. only, bro.
Come on. Guy. Remember I gave you that list of when you were going to randomly be contesting? Put it in your calendar.
I'm looking out for you. No.
CBD, my God.
So look, you know, hopefully we can get back to the team. Look, if it is,
I heard when he was told that he was not able to back, he said, "No way,
no,
oh man,
no way, man." Where'd my Jamaican accent go, man?
Oh, no.
Why do I sound like Cheech?
Yeah. I'm Mexican. Oh no.
Oh man. Well, you know what? Look, even with Corey Burke absent, yeah, Philadelphia Union are on the roll, man. They're looking
they're
good.
They're top of the East.
Dude, they're a fun team to watch. And it's one of the... Philly are one of these teams who are like, who is that? Who's that guy? Who are they passing to?
Yeah.
Oh, he's good.
Wow.
Okay.
Where was that guy? They got one dude named Casper. You got a man named Casper out there. Casper, yo. Casper like shrimp. You know, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Prisbichenko.
Prisbichenko.
I think that's his name, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds like a prison in Russia. Yeah, what happened, man? He got sent to the Prisbichenko. Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Yo,
he ain't never come back.
I don't think we ever could. Yo, you better say your goodbyes now.
Damn, yo, he a ghost for real. Casper.
Anyway, man, it's they do look good. Hopefully, even if it is,
yo, we haven't even talked about Columbus.
What? Oh, that's right, we haven't talked about Columbus.
Wow.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah.
So, yo, shouts to Corey Burke. Yo, you know, having fun out there.
Hopefully, he could be back soon. Obviously, you know, look, the rules are the rules. I mean, we're, you know,
as stupid as I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's pretty dumb, but you know, let people.
You knew the rules when you signed up.
Exactly. Let you know, Papa needs his medicine.
Yeah.
Let him have it.
Yeah. You know how stressed he is.
So
listening to some Sean Paul.
So let's talk about very quickly this Columbus against DC United match that had incredible controversy.
This was lit.
That's right.
And the littiest part.
Uncle's in town.
Yo, not a funkle at all. The littiest part of this whole match was afterwards. They asked
Caleb Porter,
what'd you think of the match? What do you take away from it? And he was like, let's talk about the referees. Yo, no, he went.
He's like, that guy right there. You see him?
I see you.
That's him, Your Honor.
Put your finger in the ear again. You ain't going to get out of this. Yo, he went in, like, as he was talking, all I heard was ching, 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 ching of the MLS fine.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
Yo, I was just thinking about this. You think when you hire someone like Caleb Porter that you put in will pay your first, like, 8 fines in
sure.
the contract?
I can, like, put in a security deposit.
Yeah.
You know, just that trust fund.
Like, yo, you getting this much money. Just so you know, this percentage of it, we're going to set aside for you.
Because we know what we signed up for.
Yeah, I got a feeling that's going to go right back to the pockets.
Okay. Yeah, so look, he is a, he keeps it real, Caleb Porter.
He kept it too real.
Well, he's not, look, he's not disrespectful. He's not like a hothead, I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say he's like crazy.
I wouldn't say what he said was respectful.
I think it's reasonable given what this particular instance.
The term egregious comes to mind.
Yes.
This was,
so if you didn't see the game.
This is a big old F up.
Yes. So this was the worst three-way ever between Will Trapp, Luciano.
Buddy, I got a story for you.
Luciano Costa and Ted Uncle. A ball being passed from who is it? Leo Jara. And he was... passing it to Luciano.
Trapp and Acosta came together, stay sandwiched. They gave a nice group hug.
That's right.
To Uncle.
And clearly, Ted Uncle is in the way and got, and he affected the play.
100%.
And he basically fouled Luciano Acosta. He made contact with the DC United player who was about to receive the ball. Then,
he was in the wrong position. So the ball kind of went in his way.
I mean, if he was a defensive midfielder for the Columbus Crew, he would have been in the perfect position, right? Yeah. He would have intercepted the ball.
He did give like an MLS 1.0 tackle, you know, like you just run into somebody.
So Will Trapp obviously goes for the ball. Luciano Costa is hit or makes contact with the referee. Will Trapp makes a great pass, passes it to Santos, and Santos gets a great goal. So
let's also talk real. Acosta did what he normally does. He went down way soft.
Sure. Whatever. I mean, he's from Argentina. What are you going to do?
That's in their culture.
That's how they're built, Alexis. Yeah.
In grammar school, in elementary school, if you sneeze, the rest of the school goes under the table, under the desk. Fallout shelter.
It's duck and cover, but yeah. it's what with even the slightest contact.
Right. Kid who sneezes gets a red card.
Look. So the craziness here was that after the goal, there was a video review, and Ted Uncle went back and said, we're watching the video right now. Ted Uncle definitely 100% makes contact with Lucho Costa. Will Trapp might also, but it's not clearly a foul. It's not enough for me if I was a ref, I would not call that a foul.
Will Trapp's foot goes underneath where Costa plants his heel.
Okay.
But Acosta does that in the act of falling back already.
Exactly.
He's bouncing off of Ted Uncle.
Correct. Yeah. So once that happens,
is that a tripping foul? No, not in any way, shape, or form. Is there contact? Yes.
Yes.
And but it's because of Ted Uncle.
Totally. It's completely Ted Uncle's fault. So in most scenarios, as we know, like when the referee kind of impedes the play, it's part of the game, right? You just keep it moving. So this is...
Yeah, that doesn't stop your defenders from defending. They're not robots that shut off.
So this is the interesting part, because this is how it was handled. The video...
Badly.
The video review, ref told Ted Uncle, take a look at it. He's like, yo, Unc, I think we got something out here.
Yeah, what you doing out there, though?
Because you're making us all look bad.
Damn, son.
You're running into the players, you know? So he goes to review it and then takes the goal back. And because he says that the attacking phase of play started when Will Trapp, quote unquote, committed the foul.
Right.
And so it negates the goal. So clearly, this is why people were upset, because now they feel like, and this is why Caleb Porter was upset, because it feels like that Ted Uncle is going back on the decision and fixing it for himself.
For himself. He covered his own ass.
Exactly. He's like, look.
He was like, maybe I was in the way, but that was after.
Exactly. Look, my performance review is coming up. I really don't need this right now.
Yeah. Dog, do you know what mortgage I got? Yo, the wife needed a colonial, okay? I don't know what to do here. You know what a colonial is? It's just a house with a wraparound porch.
Yo, don't bust my balls right now, all right? Don't be like my wife.
Do you have any idea what the electricity bill is on this freaking thing? It's too much.
So that's what made it feel really terrible, because it seemed like he was trying to correct a mistake. So in this situation, this is the update that I have for
you. Breaking news.
So I saw this. Pablo Maurer had...
Pablo Maurer is doing an incredible job now that he's full-time. Shouts to Athletic.
Tweeted this, because everyone was kind of commenting on this, and this was even the Stu Holden and John Strong at halftime of their game that they were calling. They also mentioned it as well and pointed out that it did seem ridiculous that this was even reviewed, right? That was the kind of, like, why was it being reviewed? Because it didn't seem like something that was worth reviewing. So that was like kind of the foundation of everyone's argument. But then Paulo Maurer tweets this about dropped ball laws.
Yeah, he goes to the rule book.
Laws 8 and 9. And one of them says, if the ball touches the referee or another match official and goes into the goal, team possession changes, or a promising attack starts, a dropped ball is awarded. So the referee did impact the play. So he said,
did he touch the ball, though?
That's right. That is, if the ball touches the referee, did he touch the ball? I don't think he touched the ball.
Well, we're about to find out, because we're watching it. But also, that was what's the line of the play? No, the ball didn't touch the ref.
Okay, so he shouldn't have. So if the ball did touch the referee and then this goal happens, then you understand why
it goes back.
Why it goes back.
But it never touched the ref.
It never touched the ref. So this should not have been reviewed.
He did get in the way of the player making a move or a play on the ball.
Yeah, that without a doubt. But that's technically in the laws. That is okay.
Yo, why are we the only league that this shit happens in, man?
Look, but MLS was one of the first leagues that did VAR, and this is...
It's not being used properly, because this is also his second mess up with VAR in the game. In one game!
It's just crazy that...
Yo, we gotta give refs red cards. Bring out another person.
Yeah, I'm sure the people will handle that responsibly. Just with that kind of oversight.
Caleb Barton, as soon as... game starts.
You out of here, buddy.
Time to go.
You know what? I'm reffing this game.
You know what we should have? We should have one other ref, like just floating around in a drone. And that guy is sort of like the leader ref. And he could give the refs on the field or on the pitch their red cards. You down for that?
You know what? No.
Drone ref. Brought to you by the Cooligans. We're going to sponsor the drone.
Yo, our sticker's all over it.
Yeah. Why is this drone not functioning correctly?
It is kind of a... it is pretty insane. I hate that we're MLS is basically the trial run of
we are, yeah. We're the guinea pigs.
The guinea pigs. But what surprises me about VAR is all the new ways that they can still like screw it up somehow. Like this, you would think
VAR is like, VAR, yo, that's simple.
That's
right?
It. We got there's cameras,
you could go back and check. Good.
But no, there's always some nuance that we still can't, like something insane still happened. And look, people were like, oh, we can't have VAR. VAR's gonna change the whole feeling and emotion of the game. It's like, yo, there's still a lot to talk about.
Here's what I'll say. If he would have let that go, it's still the defenders and the goalkeeper that let that ball get past them.
Yeah.
That should have been a goal. And you know why this hurts even more? I think this is Columbus' fifth loss in a row?
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. They had a good start. And then, they traded places with NYCFC.
Yeah. For sure.
So, I think they'll sort it out. I mean, Columbus, they're a good team. And Caleb Porter's a good coach. We'll see what the fines are going to be for him, because he's going to have to deal with. You can't just talk all the trash and nobody do anything.
Everybody's tea.
Because he was, if you haven't seen the comment, he was super upset with Ted Uncle.
He went all the way in.
Yeah, so there's going to be a little bit of penalty for that. You can't.
Something's going to come of this. I can at least guarantee you that.
Exactly. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with our guest, Glenn Crooks. If you don't know Glenn.
Soccer
in the City. He's that radio announcer for NYCFC.
Dude, he discovered Carly Lloyd.
That's right. It wasn't her at all. She didn't do it. No, but he coached Carly Lloyd. I know he coached
her. But like he's the one who helped her get onto the path of knowing who she is. She always had the skill and she was great. I'm just saying, yo, somewhere along the line, someone's got to be like, I think you should go do this. I'm going to introduce you to somebody.
Yeah. I know a guy.
Yeah, that's us, baby.
So we'll be talking with Glenn Crooks right after this.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just got a word from one of our sponsors, us.
Us, our hats.
Yo, our hat is so fire. It's a collab we did with Talisman.
That's
right. If you want to get it, guess what? There's five left at the Talisman store. We didn't hide them. We put them right out there. If you want them.
You got to find the map first.
Yeah. You go find Dustin and you check under the hood, if you get what I'm saying.
So you can go to the Talisman Cap store in St. Paul and pick up. There's five left. So go get them there, Minnesota family. Go pick one up.
But if you're not in Minnesota, you go to On the Volley Apparel.
And there's a lot of people who are not in Minnesota.
There's a lot of people in Minnesota, but there's a lot of people that aren't, and they want the hat. Go to onthevolleyapparel.com. onthevolleyapparel.com/Cooligans.
Yes. And you can see we have a nice merch page now. You can see the hat right there.
See all the stuff that's sold out.
Exactly. But they'll be coming back. Don't worry about it. So onthevolleyapparel.com/Cooligans and use the promo code Cooligans for 20% off your entire order. So anything you order on onthevolleyapparel.com.
Including our merch.
Yeah, exactly. Will be discounted. So it's a good deal. Go pick one up. Look fresh. Stay gully. That's what it says right on the cap.
Stay gully on the back. It's got the fade window on the side. We put some mesh on the side so everybody sees how tight your fade is all summer long.
Exactly. All right? Because I love a nice lady with a dope fade.
Yo, show me that fade, baby girl.
You're looking good. So go pick one up on thevolleyapparel.com/Cooligans and use the promo code Cooligans for 20% off.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
Oh, we are.
Oh, yeah.
We are absolutely stoked. We're excited to have our next guest.
We got to be on his podcast now. We gave him the luxury and the honor of being on
that's
the funniest soccer podcast in the world, gulliest soccer podcast in the world.
That's right. He's, I'm looking at his face. He's incredibly flattered.
Yeah, I mean, blushing even.
Hey, I'm still pissed that you put John Strong and Stuart Holden on before me.
We haven't even introduced you yet.
He's already filling out the complaint box.
Also throwing out shade to other guests, which, again, we allow and we encourage. Please, throw shade. If you don't know who he is, you're stupid, son. You ain't been around the game long enough. You need to listen to his podcast. He's been around the game for so long. This guy's had a career that, if you love American soccer, this dude is one of the reasons why it's still around today, and there's some superstars that are banging halfway goals in World Cups and stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Glenn Crooks, everybody.
Glenn.
Boys.
How are you doing, man?
I'm loving life. I'm loving being here.
There you go.
And you should see these two guys, though, before we start the recording. You know, they're very calm. You know, and then the next thing you know, they're screaming.
The energy.
It's like,
we turn it on for the microphone.
This is, it's impressive. It
yeah,
really is.
We're professionals at what we're not 100% sure. Well, but I know we're professionals.
People generally, like with comedians, with stand-up comedians, a lot of times people ask, if I'm with my girlfriend, they might be like, oh, he must always be funny all the time, right? This must be great. And I have to explain to them, like, oh no,
we turned our love into a job.
The roller coaster goes real deep. Yeah.
You guys don't find yourself, like, if you're in a social setting, that there's some pressure to be funny?
Of course. The moment somebody's like, wait, you're a comedian, you're like, here we go.
So now
I
gotta
prove I'm funny.
But we can't be on at all times. You
like
know?
When
we
we're
have
home,
to save it for, you know, for when the lights are on.
You know, doctors aren't home just checking blood pressure. Sure, you know, they're at home relaxing. It's like, you know, a plumber's house has like a leaky faucet.
Yeah.
That's us. Like, we're just sitting at home, relaxed. Right. My wife will say something that clearly can have a joke to it, and I'm just like, maybe if I was on stage.
It's interesting that I feel like Glenn is already interviewing us, you know? Like,
that's what he does.
I should catch it. Yes.
Yeah,
he's
been around
into,
for too long.
Yeah, because we had a message from, I must have been Michael Anderer from Blue City Radio. He was like, hey,
I've seen him at those scrums.
I don't know if you're going to be able to get a word in.
On your own podcast, he said.
Oh, well. Hey, listen, that's because my questions are more interesting and I have more interesting things to say.
Wow.
So. Shots
more
fired.
More insightful.
All you media out there, just know that Glenn is coming after you.
Glenn Crooks, the gulliest media scrum member when we're not there.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
So, Glenn, you know what? I want to talk to you about you in a moment, but you did just come back from Orangeburg, New York.
I did.
NYCFC's
breaking potential
training
news.
Facility, and we just saw this online. We were just talking about this. You walked in the door. Now we have somebody to yell at directly. So
what they say is whether smoke, there's fire, and we don't just mean the smoke Glenn is throwing at Michael Anderer
and John Strong
and John Strong as well. We mean where there's smoke, there's fire, and yo, I hear a little kindling.
Okay. Okay, the log is.
I hear the rustling.
The Yule log is turned on.
These are the guys that are going to be fired up about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Jonathan Lewis,
of
but,
course.
You know, I like him, but this is. Look, you know, this is something that is going to be, we hope, good for him. And it's just like when Tommy McNamara has played in every match for the Houston Dynamo since he left New York City and is now with, you know, with Wilmer Cabrera, who coached him at Chivas. And there's a relationship there and he's playing. So hopefully, you know, the only unfortunate thing is he's going to the Colorado Rapids, which is. Oh,
2 points from 10
terrible.
Games.
Yeah,
that's
terrible.
No.
And again, it's not official that he was at training today. Mm-hmm. I did not speak to him.
He was busy packing his bags.
He did leave early, but so did many other players leave a bit early from the session, like an Alex Ring. I think Tinnerholm was off
early. Players allowed
are they all
early?
Going to Colorado?
No,
what's going on?
Uh-oh. You heard it here first, folks.
They might be told, look, you're done for the day. Now you could stay and do extras or you can go inside. You know,
sure.
Then they get their option of what to do. So Lewis was there, talked to Domé Thuram, but there was no inkling of this. And maybe... maybe as a journalist, I wasn't as adamant as I should have been to ask about, well, today's the transfer deadline day.
Sure.
What do you got going? But Lewis was, there is a publication called Pro Soccer USA, And in there, in their like transfer predictions, I did think that John Lewis would be moved during this time, because I'm pretty certain he's disgruntled, maybe even trade requests. I don't know. But the fact is that and one thing Domi did say today is I've got seven forwards. When Mitrice is healthy, if he's ready for this week, I've got seven forwards. So how do I keep everybody happy? You know, you don't. And the unhappiest is probably Jonathan Lewis.
Let me just say, let me ask this. Why? The league is becoming a selling league, right? And it's all about the youth movement. And can you flip these youths for more money? You have one in your stable that is getting, every time he's on the field for the men's national team, he's doing something creative, helping, a chance be creator, something for a goal, right?
Which he's done with New York City as well.
But I mean, in the major spotlight, he's playing well. Now he's in your club. How is that guy not someone you want to keep along so you can make more money in the future? What are they actually gaining by getting rid of him? Is this because of a big move, or is this just because he was, potentially disgruntled and maybe asked to leave?
Probably more of the latter. But the fact is that for whatever reason, we don't know specifically. I mean, the only thing that's ever been said publicly by Domi Turan was last year about Jonathan Lewis not effective in his defensive responsibilities. He didn't seem to ever have a massive problem with him on the attacking side, although we talked about tactics sometimes, too. But there's something about Jonathan Lewis, I think, that Domi Turan does not admire. I mean, after he played for 40 minutes at DC and that was a good shift for him. He wasn't even on the bench for the next two games. So I don't want to be so trite to say as the writing may have been on the wall, but the writing may have been on the wall.
Yeah, it is one of we go to games and you see him play and you see him do positive things. It's one of those things. I guess my only question is, why hasn't it worked?
The one thing I will say, Jonathan's been given an opportunity to start. And I think I can't remember a starting assignment where he was really good that day.
Sure.
And he became, with the U.S. men's national team, you talk about his effectiveness. It was always in a reserve role.
Yeah.
Coming in, 70th minute. The back group for the opponent is a little bit winded or tired. Their legs are, a little rubbery at that point. And there's Jonathan Lewis blowing by him, which is what he did in those two matches where he got assists.
With skill moves, though. Yeah. And also, how old is Jonathan Lewis?
21.
21.
He's 21. No,
come
I know. I'm with you.
It's an asset.
Here's the difficult thing about they're
selling an asset. I don't know how much TAM supposedly they're getting, but they're getting rid of an asset which could potentially create a lot of money coming in. And I know that's probably not the most important thing for City Football Group. Like, for them, it's more important, different, maybe that little bit of a profit is not a significant amount of money, is what I'm saying. But what are we doing?
Well, one thing Domi has been saying recently, and with the emergence of James Sands, he loves Joe Scally. He said Joe Scally will play before the end of the year, 100% guaranteed. Didn't mention Justin Hack, although he mentions Justin, but not about him playing this year as a 17-year-old. So Domi wants to stay, although, in the supporters area, we've heard different things in regard to that. But Domi wants to stay, and he's positive about the youth movement. There's something about Jonathan Lewis's game that didn't fit what he desired. And that's the best I could tell you. He has no problem playing James Sands. Sands is 18 years old.
Yeah.
So it's not an age thing.
Nope. Certainly not an age thing. I mean, whatever the issue is.
Right. Okay, so
I could tell you're upset, though, Alexis.
Here's my thing. It's because if you clearly have something that people were freaking out about during the men's national team, and I said this in the previous segment, men's national team is a higher standard than MLS. That's undeniable. And he played well there. You tell me he can't do the same thing in MLS?
I think he can, and this is what
we're about to find out in Colorado if he can.
But here's what I told you, and this is the way it works in the coaching player relationship. Let's say Jonathan Lewis, and I'm sure this was the case, felt that Domi Turan wasn't into him as a player. Wasn't supportive of him as a player.
It's like that movie. He's just not that into you.
Yeah,
that's all.
Girl, we need to talk.
But how do you feel? So you're playing on the team, and you get the feel. You just get the feeling the coach doesn't have it for you. Isn't confident in what you can bring. With Berhalter saw Jonathan Lewis play when he was at the University of Akron. He drove from Columbus to Akron 2.5 hours to see the kid play, and then he's played against him. And actually, Jonathan Lewis is probably his best game last year was against Columbus. So Berhalter, his whole thinking is, I want a guy like this that could come in near the end of the game and cause some havoc.
And that, and in general, that's how it is, right? One coach can almost despise you, and then another coach can be like, oh, this is a perfect relationship. So there's a bunch of other stuff I want to get to. So just to mention your resume, you were a coach for a very long time.
So you know what you're talking about.
I'm still a coach.
Okay. So, but
it's because everybody forgets I coach club soccer now. I retired from college.
That's right. You were coaching Rutgers for a long time.
And 14 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Very good, Alexis.
Yeah, very nice.
So, he studied his press notes on the way.
Press notes. We definitely do that, right, Chris?
Yeah, where are your notes? There's nothing in front of these. Well, they have their computers up, but that's good, right?
Yeah, but I'm
playing. Is there a picture of me up there? Let me see.
I'm playing Minecraft on mine.
But I did. So that's where a lot of your, obviously, acumen and knowledge comes from. So I wanted to just get that clear so that everyone knows that they should be listening to Glenn Crooks. So
that's correct.
But you've been.
I've always said you're very perceptive, Christian.
You've been covering NYCFC since the beginning of and you do the radio call for NYCFC, so you deal with all everything NYCFC from beginning till now.
True.
I feel very much you're very much a part of the club. I feel I can ask you questions. I think our listeners are gonna be like, well, ask him about the stadium. Maybe he knows something that other people don't know.
Is the one question we keep getting.
I mean that's what you're going to get. And I travel. I'm on the road with the team too, so I do have a lot of conversations, some of which I can't share, but you know, it's
why would you say that?
Yeah, well, that's just the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
But okay, so we've been, at least at the very least, we've been seeing some reports that we're closer. I don't know how valid any of this is.
What report was that? Was that Randy Levine? The last time I've heard anybody say anything was Randy Levine, the president of the Yankees, who owned 25% of the team.
Yeah.
And he was in an interview, and it just came up something about the stadium. It was mostly about baseball, and then the stadium thing came up, and he goes, you know, we're hopeful to have something by the end of the year, which we've heard before. And so you can't say he's lying. He's hopeful to have something by the end of the year.
Yeah, but hopeful doesn't mean we have something potential.
So if I'm your guy, you guys, and I'm the supporters who have shelled out the money and have really provided support, go to all the events in the Manhattan and in Queens or wherever anything's happening.
Riots. Got it.
And violence makes changes. You heard it here first, folks.
I was not intimating that at all. I was just saying you have every right to be, I think, a little perturbed at this point that there's no news. I have nothing to share with you. I think from their side of it, and nobody wants to hear this, is that if there are three places or four places that are under consideration, putting that out publicly by them might damage their negotiating position.
Yeah,
those kinds of things are real. So it's a business deal.
Here's my thing. They have four. Let's say they have four locations. Hypothetically speaking, they got four locations. They don't want to lose leverage by putting it out there that they got these four locations. Here's what you do: you create a fake fifth location, and you get someone else to leak that information.
Well, that was Belmont that was fake. That thing.
Yeah, I mean,
it was real, but they didn't want to go there.
Belmont never existed, folks. Belmont died 10 years ago.
That was backup plan. Yeah. At Belmont. So
that's what I mean. Like, you come out with a fake fifth location and you say that's close, and that pushes everyone else closer to want to make a deal. And if that doesn't work, bomb threats.
All right. Well, get involved with it, man. Get involved.
You heard it here, folks.
Okay, I've got a text. No, I was just kidding.
Oh, he was looking at his phone. Yeah, I'm like, we got an update.
Yeah.
I've made this complaint often where we saw with Columbus the Save the Crew movement and how much the supporters were involved in helping keep the team.
And now they're getting $10,000 a game. But go ahead.
Sure.
What's going on, man? I'm a little disturbed by that. Yeah, you know, but go ahead. I'm sorry. Sorry to
but
interrupt.
But at the very least, you know, the beginning of the movie was hot, right? There was a lot of the Save the Crew movie.
Yeah.
It's going to start great.
It was heartwarming. It was inspiring. It was all those things. And now there are 10,000 people are showing up for their games.
Yes. So, but at the very least, there was some organization, some movement, and a coordinated effort to try to help keep the team. for NYCFC to get a stadium. I've always said, like, how come there isn't that effort to try to get a stadium? Like, is there a politician we can write letters to and contact? Is there what coordinated effort can NYCFC fans do and be a part of to help get a stadium? Because it feels like we have no control over it. And I think we might be able to influence somebody with something, you know, to move forward.
You need a lawyer.
Okay.
You need a lawyer. A strong lawyer.
A mob lawyer.
One of those kinds. Okay. That wields a little. Maybe. Make sure they look that, you know, they look mob-like.
Back,
you know,
they've got that back hair.
Sort of like that guy who's a goalkeeper for Minnesota, Vito
Manone.
He's the most Italian-looking guy I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. There's a guy like that. Who does he play for? Polenta.
LA.
Oh, he plays for, he's Uruguayan, though, but his last name is Polenta. Vito Manone is more Italian sounding.
When you watch New York City play the LA Galaxy this week, you guys going to watch the game?
Of course.
Yeah. You're not coming to LA? With me? Come on, man.
No. Oh, wow. You're going to get us flights? Glenn.
But I want you to have you seen that guy deliver a ball out of the back? He is sensational.
Polenta? Incredible passer.
Oh, my goodness.
What was that pass he just did with the outside of his
Ibra.
Foot?
Yeah, to Ibra, who slotted it across the goal to, I don't forget who finished.
Bruh, you're
against
Uruguayans.
Red Bulls.
I mean, what? Is that what it is?
You're Uruguayan? I didn't know that.
Half Cuban, half Uruguayan.
Okay.
Yeah. I know nothing about the Uruguayan side because that was my dad.
Mate?
I know about it. I don't drink it.
You're not Uruguayan?
No, you know what? Grilled meats. I'm good. Trust me. Uruguayan enough. I was voted in high school most likely to get gout.
What an honor. It's the best superlative.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
My only regret is I haven't gotten sooner.
The best superlative is what?
The most likely to get gout.
Okay.
You know,
oh my goodness!
Not honored by that. So that answers my question. So basically, you're saying that there's no amount of public support from the supporters that will influence whether NYCFC gets a stadium sooner.
I'm not saying that. What support organization has made any effort to get an answer or get some information?
I don't know. It seems like
it hasn't been organized. It's just people shouting on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Remember when the Jets were going to get the stadium by Jacob Javits?
Oh, that would have been great.
But remember the Giants when I hired a bunch of people to pretend to be like against it?
Okay.
Right? Like a conspiracy theory that's kind of been proven. Okay. We need to do that. Like we need to find
a
back channel.
Like a Craigslist, hire.
What is operative? the thing you do, the research? Operative research?
Research opposition.
Opposition research. Yeah. We need to do that.
Alexis, I'm noticing that the deception is one of the areas that you're very consistent with.
Glenn, you should listen to this podcast a little more.
I'm just wondering what happens at home. Yeah.
My plan
A.
Yeah,
I cleaned the garage. Yes, I did.
Well, I have these photos of you.
So it is what it is. Maybe there needs to be some sort of a clear, organized group to do something. But even if that group gets together, who are they reaching out to? Well, who are they complaining
John
to?
John Patrickoff used to have, like, he would do these morning breakfasts, and he would invite supporters, right? Maybe, you know, let's go to Brad Sims. He's the new president. Has anybody approached him, you know, about, I think he's been around long enough, and I'm sure he's very much involved in this.
Where's our bacon, egg, and cheese, Brad Sims?
No, and he's a nice guy. I mean, I've had a couple of chats with him, and I really like him, and I think... you know, he's an experienced a guy at his level in a different sport, but he understands the game, and I think he understands the supporters. So I would see if let's get Brad involved. Okay. Not me. I am out of this.
Well, you're here right now, Glenn.
Oh, you are in. Glenn has told you how to heal these wounds.
All right, you're here. You're part of the problem.
You need to answer.
Wanted to sit one. I'm going to get somebody to do my end of the broadcast once and just sit out with you guys during a game. I would really like to do that.
I would love it.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
Or maybe do the game from the bleachers.
Done.
Oh, yeah.
How would I do that?
I mean, when the beer falls all over the equipment, it's going to be a little bit of a problem. But. Yeah.
That's a lot of money involved there. Yeah. If we could protect the equipment and there would be a way to do it.
You know what's actually
work on that?
It's a summertime sport. So instead of you going outside, I don't want you to have to do that. Christian and I will go in on the air conditioning and we will sit in on the game with you.
We open the windows for our broadcast. You see where our booth is. The windows always open.
Yeah, well, I will bring a
fan. We want to be part of it. We want to be part of it.
A couple more NYCFC questions, and then I'm going to ask a couple about your past, your history.
But, it's pretty interesting, I got to tell you.
We did get a couple questions in. One from Alex Schaefer. I don't know if you know Alex. You ever met Alex? Gully Squad member, great dude.
Great guy.
Very tall, also. Very, and so we only take questions from tall people.
I guess I won't ask any questions then.
Nothing with a question mark behind it, Glenn.
he did ask, he says, is there a chance Jesus Medina gets sold during the transfer window to open up his DP spot? How do you feel about Jesus Medina's play?
I've been one of his harshest critics.
Okay.
I know. That's
I've been
I'm
one
asking.
Of his harshest critics. But if Jonathan Lewis indeed has been dealt or traded to Colorado for allocation money, Medina's staying.
Yeah.
You're not going to get rid of another forward. You're not going to do it. But
how do you feel about a DP essentially being a backup?
It's one of the things I kind of appreciate about Domi Toron, because he doesn't feel any pressure to play a certain player because of their salary or DP status. How do I feel about it? The guy is completely underachieved, and I don't quite get it, because when he first came on board, I mean, you know, I watched him train and then watched him play. I mean, what a great opener, right? At Sporting KC. I mean, was it goal and two assists? I should know this. Goal and assist at the very least.
Yeah.
And
he looked every bit of the part.
No, he did. And I think his confidence is close to being shot. I will say that his last two appearances I thought were rather bright. I think he's back into maybe a good way. But here's the thing. If you're a forward on this team, you have to create chances or you have to score. You have to be part of something and be dangerous.
Yeah.
He hasn't been dangerous. His choices of going 1v1 as opposed to passing, you know, I think he's kind of awkward in that. I think he's caught in both. So, but that's a lot of that's going to be confidence too. Technically gifted, but the amount of times he gets dispossessed because he just cuts the ball back against the grain right into the defender and it goes the other way. I mean, it's like, you're better than that, man.
Yeah,
you're better than that. Pivot out of that. Do something else.
When you were a coach over at Rutgers, or my alma mater, St. Peter's, okay.
Oh, that's your alma mater.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's where I started my big collegiate coaching career.
That was the only school that gave me money, and I was like, I'll take it.
Yeah, they give a lot of money.
Yeah, I got accepted to NYU, and they're like, we'll give you $3. And I was like, so where am I going to get the other $99,997 for your university? I should have went to be a doctor. It's free now. Anyway, when you were there, I should say, what would you have said to someone like Jesus Medina? Because here's the thing. I agree with you. Oh, that's cool. Domi Toron, he's cool with sitting someone who's made a lot of money. That's cool if they're a head case, or that's cool if they're a locker room cancer. Not if they're not good enough to start. And that's kind of what we've seen so far. How would you change that?
Well, the coach-player relationship in these things is really important. And what I would do, and what I did with athletes along the way, and still would if I had the resources, is you sit with them, you watch. When they're training, you point out what you saw to try to make it better. You have the player stay for extras. Somebody who is supposed to finish and help create, you have to put them in those spots as often as possible in a training environment. So, you know, the game, the mental aspect of all athletics is that's what separates these athletes, you know, and he's a young guy too. Now, this is the thing I said earlier in the year on a broadcast. He's 21 also.
Mm-hmm.
So some 21 year olds are mature. Some 21 year olds, act like Christian, and
some act like me.
Yeah, some act like you. Yeah.
Yo, shout out to the ones that act like me. Enjoy Colorado, my guy.
But that's just it. I mean, it's like you sometimes forget that about Medina. He came in with this, you know, high price tag and the DP tag. And
has that been a weight on his shoulder, or do you think he's just
it might be
else?
But you know what? This is one of the things I don't communicate with him. He speaks Spanish. I speak English. I don't speak Spanish, and his English is very limited. So, I mean, I've interviewed him and had a translator just to get quotes for an article or something. Yeah. But you know, the you forgot to say that I write too. Did you say that?
I didn't say that.
All right, I'm a writer.
I feel like
I'm sure you can also read too, Glenn.
ProSoccerUSA.com. Yeah. ProSoccerUSA.com. Yeah.
He doesn't know how to spell it, but boy, does he write on there.
Hey, I used the word ubiquitous earlier involving you guys. You know what that means?
You
know
I blacked out.
That means you're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah,
ubiquitous.
Yeah.
You're everywhere.
We're trying our best. Yeah, I mean,
you guys, this is. I would like to just publicly. Congratulate you guys. I mean, for what you've done, how you've grown. Because 2015, I remember you tweeted, you know, I don't know, you texted, I don't remember what. It was just like, hey, can you help us? Just, you know, retweet this or, you know, whatever. And
I said,
okay.
Were doing everything to just be seen.
Yeah. Very cool. So All-Star game, MLS Cup.
Hell yeah, baby.
Yeah. And now we're coming for your job, Glenn.
Hell yeah. Okay. We're going to be in the booth. Close that window, Glenn.
3-man booth.
Yeah. So, and one of them farted. It was me.
You know, I think that the only thing holding Jesus Medina back is the braces. And once he gets rid of those things, he'll be, I think he'll be great.
21. Homie looks 12.
So last question that we received, this is from Giazzi Edmond. He asked, I want you to talk about the best midfielder of the season by talking about Ebenezer Ofori. So Ebenezer Ofori is someone who doesn't come up very often. His
he
name
doesn't
is
get any recognition, but the boy can play.
The dude, I think in most of the games that he's been available this season, he's often the best player on the team. He is just the ball. The game seems to always go through him. He is
also like he's unflappable. You know what I mean? He seems to like when the pressure gets built, he's like, just give it to me. I got this.
But he's never the guy that. Even amongst supporters, I can talk to other NYCFC fans. His name never comes up, but he is so important to the team. How do you feel about him?
Well, I talked to a lot of my colleagues about him, and up until recently, it was like the jury is still out on Ofori. But I think he's a very understated player. You know, he just kind of does his job, and his job is to break things up, which he anticipates and does very well. And I think he's shown recently that he's a little bit more tactically proficient. You know, he can move the ball around a little bit better than we gave him credit for. Of course, he scored that unbelievable goal.
Yeah.
The first goal of the season against Orlando City. He was playing the 10 that match. He was the attacking midfielder, which I remember thinking, why is this happening? Because I'd never seen him close. He scored against Colorado in the fourth goal in the 4-0 win last year against the Rapids. And he was tight to the goal when he scored that. But otherwise, I'd never seen him within 30 yards of the goal. So when he scored, it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know he could do that.
So what is James Sands' position?
I think in that six that he plays with Alex Ring. I really do. It's interesting because Dome was using him as a wing back last week in training because of the injury to Matarita. I think Mata's out again against L.A. He was training on the side today. Sands is still questionable. Matriz is still questionable just based on their training habits today. But he was Ismail Tajiri Shradi. I think he'll end this experiment. Was it wing back and Ebenezer Ofori just in case something happens to Ben Sweat. Dome is really stuck now on he wants to stay with his three back system because they're playing so well out of it.
It's done well,
And Tinnerholm is getting in, and it's really been and the way Max Morales is now freed up a little bit. And you like the Brazilian Eber?
Oh, he's been great. We were just talking about him before. He's been outstanding.
But Ofori is because that was a question.
He's been
very good. And what I always waited for this because. And I always put my trust in Patrick Vieira. Patrick went after him for a long time. That was Patrick's guy, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. He wanted him for a while. And he was the midfielder of the year in a good league, the Allsvenskan, where Tinnerholm came from, and he was the defender of the year.
Also, who would know better that position than Patrick Vieira?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as an Arsenal fan, I got to watch him do really well in that position. So dope. That's really cool.
Speaking of Eber, I feel like he should, like Jesus Medina, should have the urgency and energy that Eber came in with, right? First game, he was already taking shots. He doesn't even care what goal he's aiming for. He's like, I'm going to take some shots to let people know that I'm here. And Medina is like the guy that doesn't seem to have that, like, I'm just trying to, I'm going to try to get something going. That's kind of the main difference.
He hit the post on a shot, and then Matrica the rebound was saved. Who was that against?
I don't remember.
A couple of games back, but yeah.
Okay, so all right, so let's talk about your time at Rutgers, and let's talk a little bit about you, because I think we spoke about this
on your podcast.
On your podcast, I don't remember specifically
soccer
if this
city.
Was on air,
but now it's called On Frame. Just for the record,
is it really
soccer? Well, there's Soccer in the City that I do with the boys,
yeah,
and then there's On Frame. You guys are on Soccer City. We'll confuse it all now.
Sure. Okay.
That podcast is now called On Frame. To try to get away from the Soccer in the City. Soccer City, nobody knew what was going on.
Okay. All right. So
anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Go listen to On Frame. All right. So
sorry to interrupt.
But we were talking about Carly Lloyd, and you coach Carly Lloyd.
I did.
She is going to the Women's World Cup in France in a couple weeks.
I believe you mean the World Cup.
I do mean the World Cup. I mean both.
I liked when Megan Klingenberg last year called it the Men's World Cup in Russia. Hashtag Men's World Cup.
Yeah, I like to call it the World Cup that women happen to be playing in.
Yeah.
And then it happened to be men.
Did you guys know that in 1991, which was the first ever Women's World Cup, it wasn't called a World Cup. It was sponsored by...
It's the M&M
the
Cup.
M&M something cup. And the actual the championship trophy had M&M's on it.
All right.
I mean, awful. Absolutely awful.
Real classic. Yeah, were they peanut M&M's at least? Can we get that?
I do like the peanut M&M's.
Those are the
M&M's.
Best.
Yeah, that's humble.
So we don't know too much the specifics of your history in coaching at Rutgers, coaching a lot of players that have, you know, turned out to be very successful. I don't know if there's a synopsis of things that stand out of players that you were the most proud to coach, the that you were the most proud to see where their careers have gone. Are there any particular people that stand out?
Well, there's a team that stands out, and it's before I got to Rutgers, and it's why I got to Rutgers, and that's LIU Brooklyn. That's another place that
I nice.
So just LIU, to give them a shout out down in Brooklyn. By the way, the LIU Brooklyn men's and women's soccer team, no more. They've merged it with Post out on Long Island, and now they will move those two teams out to Long Island. And on the men's side in particular, there's a long history. Gio Savarese is one of the better names. Joe Macnick that we see, you know, Dr. Joe he's an LIU grad. And so the men's have a long history, but I started the women's soccer program. So when I heard this announcement this year, I was very I went 2 weekends ago.
For those of you who aren't from New York, when your friend moves from Brooklyn to Long Island, they're dead to you. It's R.I.P.
No question.
Nice knowing you. Enjoy your yard.
And this field, but it's called the Cage. You know, it was affectionately known as the Cage, and it was a tough place for teams to play. I used to love. So here we are on a Friday night. Downtown Brooklyn, you know, Flatbush Ave, you know, and the mom.
We hosted a soccer tournament.
You did with TJ Kostecki, the men's coach, who is not being, well, I don't know if this is announced, but he's not going to be the head coach of the new team.
Ah, that sucks. What are they doing with that
field? He's only been there like 20-some. Yeah, it's going to become a parking lot or apartment complex or something. They're tearing the field down. But imagine... I'm coaching the LIU Brooklyn women, tough girls, you know, they're booming. And Monmouth University with all those prissy shore girls from New Jersey pull up on the bus. And the first thing to do when they get off is there's beggars there.
Yeah.
And it just freaks them out.
That's right.
We won that game 2-1.
Yeah, of course. Good, right away.
Good move on Glenn to hire those beggars.
I know the coach pretty well. I said, listen, every time you come, there's going to be people standing when you get off.
Yeah. You're giving them cleats.
So that's cool. I mean, look, you have you've been around New York soccer for a very long time. New York, New Jersey. It's fascinating because we don't have enough time to, like, I'm sure you have tons of stories.
Well, but can I want to finish my LIU Brooklyn.
Go for it.
Because my first year, we were 1-16-1. I had softball players playing right and left back. I had Kim Adu playing the target, who had never played soccer before except with her brothers in the backyard. And we hung in there. But it was a rough year. And I recruited 10 kids. 3 of them left during preseason because I couldn't handle Brooklyn. Seriously. They left. I was a mess. And my wife's having a baby. My lovely Morgan. And I'm like, oh, my. It was a rough year. But those 7 kids that stayed, they stuck it out. And 2 years later, we won the Northeast Conference Championship and went to the NCAA tournament. And then the next year, I got the Rutgers job. Wow. So I owe so much to those girls, but we're still in touch today. And they, we all talk about how the pain of all that helped us grow. I was an adult. They were children. But nonetheless, it was one of those.
You're all still here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's impressive that you were able to field a full soccer team with seven players and get so far.
Yeah. Well, it was sort of like it was unbelievable. One of the players said, hey, do a top 10, reasons to come join the soccer team. So it was like, I had money to buy them cleats. So that was, number 10, or maybe that was number one. And I'll buy you new cleats.
Yeah.
I forget, but we had posted that all over campus.
So, I mean, it was very much especially since you started the women's program there, then it had to be like teachers have to buy their kids school supplies because there's not enough funding and things like that. Was there pushback on the program being started, or was there a lot of support for you?
No, there was enough. Well, when I was hired by the previous AD, John Suarez then took over and took great care of me, but I didn't have an office and I didn't have a computer. Okay. So I was asking this guy, well, I don't have a team. Yeah. I need a computer. And I need an office. How the hell am I going to get players here?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't just. I have a phone.
I'll meet you
I was using his secretary's phone and his secretary's computer.
Jesus.
I'll meet you at the DeKalb Avenue stop and we'll talk at the Dunkin' Donuts.
Come to the lunchroom to my office, which is the third picnic table.
No, it's great, man. Look, Glenn, we're out of time, but we have to get you back on it because there's so many things I want to know.
We would love to just hear your thoughts on the World Cup coming up as well. But, if we have more time, so we got to bring you back
on. We got to bring you back in here.
Yeah, you do that. And you guys have to come on my On Frame.
On Frame City Soccer, whatever you call it. We'll do it.
So, right. Glenn Crooks, thank you so much for joining us on the show, man. We appreciate it a lot.
Where can people follow you?
At Glenn Crooks. I'm also on Instagram now.
Crooks?
Yes. Didn't know this. Crooks.Glenn. But all that's on Instagram. I do a tip of the day. Have you guys seen this?
I have seen them, yes.
Tip of the day. And it's coaching tip of the day, for all kinds of things.
You're like the Gary Goldman of soccer.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you know Gary Goldman.
I don't.
He's a comedian and he's been doing Goldman tips.
He gives you a comedy tip. It's great.
Really?
Yeah, it's very, very helpful. So if you want to get into stand-up comedy, follow Gary Goldman.
Listen, I don't know how you guys do it, man. I don't know how you do it. But you got to keep me in touch on your gig so my wife and I could come in to see you.
Every single night.
Except my wife doesn't like you, Alexis, because she loves Arturo.
So this is the gift. This is the gift to you that you're not going to like. I asked two of the best pizza makers in the city to rate Arturo's from 1 to 10. I won't tell you who they are. I'll tell you off mic.
No, but that's already subjective. Two of the top pizza makers, that's subjective.
As rated by a lot of people. Two of the people.
Could you be more vague?
I could. I can tell you two of the top pizza place owners in New York City.
Yeah.
I asked them. One of them said on a scale of 1 to 10, it is a 1.
Wow.
One being the best.
If you like it, then yes. And the other one said 3. And I said, wow, okay, that's pretty good. He goes, because it's a cool atmosphere.
It is a cool atmosphere.
It is a great place to get a drink.
Okay. All right.
Especially to wash that taste of that terrible pizza out of your mouth. Folks, Glenn, thank you so much. And by the way, you didn't mention this. Glenn has two N's. So if you're going to go to crooks.glenn or at Glenn Crooks, two N's.
The only way it should be spelled, really.
And Glenn can also write. He can write words. Where can people see the written word?
Soccer USA. All my New York City FC articles.
Okay, that's right. Good stuff, man. I see them. I read them. I see them shared all over all the MLS groups. You are a respected man in soccer. And
You came on our show.
Okay, we've hurt your credibility.
I've taken the step down. Is that what's happening here?
You've hurt yourself somehow.
Hey, the New York City FC retweeted my appearance. You put this so there's some legitimacy to it. Come on.
Doing something right.
Paying off the right people.
You heard it here first, folks. We have some legitimacy.
Nicest thing anyone ever said to me in my life.
So, Glenn, we usually wrap the show by yelling the Cooligans. We say that's how we always end the show. So
you'll know exactly when.
Me too, or you guys?
No, we'll all do it. You'll know when.
You'll know when. So the energy that you were talking about at the top of the show, this is where you've stored it all, and you were gonna let it out in this moment. So, so thank you so much for listening, everybody. Make sure you like the show on YouTube, like it on any podcast app. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all.
Join Gully Squad.
Join Gully Squad. Help support the show, and you know we'll love you forever for doing that. So
this is on YouTube.
Yeah,
we're on everything.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna be seen.
The audio is gonna be out. That is.
We're gonna Photoshop Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. Okay.
Brad Pitt. Pritt.
You better do Pritt. I'm sure. Yeah.
The combination of Chris Pratt and Brad Pitt.
Yeah. He is the sexiest man ever. All right.
So with that said, for Glenn Crooks, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros, and together, what are we?
The Cooligans.